I want to return to NEOM with a slightly different lens, because the implications stretch beyond Saudi Arabia's particular situation into how we think about state-directed economic transformation globally.
The NEOM story sits at the intersection of several trends that have been building for 15 years. The first is the use of megaprojects as economic transformation tools. The idea that you can build your way into a post-resource economy by constructing infrastructure ambitious enough to attract the talent, tourism, and business activity that sustains a diversified economic base.
Singapore did something like this, though at a much smaller scale and over a much longer period. The Gulf states looked at Singapore and extracted a lesson that may not have been the right one, that you can accelerate the transformation by making the projects large enough and audacious enough to force the transformation.
The mistake is that Singapore's economic transformation wasn't primarily about built infrastructure. It was about institutions, rule of law, education policy, and strategic positioning in global trade. The buildings and the airport followed the economic logic. In NEOM, the logic seems to have been reversed. Build the structure and the economic activity will follow.
Field of dreams urbanism, as some development economists call it. And there's a reason it usually doesn't work. Economic clusters form around existing comparative advantages, talent pools, research institutions, regulatory environments, market access. You can attract those things to a new location, but you can't construct them out of poured concrete, no matter how spectacular the architecture.
The specific phrase in the reporting, ambition outpacing capacity, is polite, as you noted earlier. But it's worth asking what capacity means here. It's not primarily financial capacity. Saudi Arabia has sovereign wealth resources that dwarf most countries. It's execution capacity, the ability to translate a vision articulated in a boardroom into a functional urban environment at scale, across challenging desert terrain, without a pre-existing population or economic base to anchor to.
And project management capacity at that scale is a genuinely rare resource. The number of organizations in the world that have successfully delivered a complex megaproject, on time, within reasonable budget variance, and producing the intended economic outcome, is small. The number that have done it in the context of building a brand new city from scratch is essentially zero in the modern era.
What happens to the capital that was committed to NEOM? That's the question I'd be asking if I were an institutional investor with exposure to Gulf infrastructure. Does it get redeployed to smaller, more achievable projects within Saudi Arabia? Does it flow into the PIF's international portfolio? Or does some portion of it simply get written down as the cost of an ambitious lesson?
The political implications for MBS are not trivial. Vision 2030 is identified with him, personally, in a way that gives him no easy off-ramp if the central project of that vision is quietly abandoned. The framing of any retreat will require careful narrative management. And the silence from Saudi official channels right now suggests they haven't found the right framing yet.
One thing I'd watch, whether the Saudi government accelerates other, more achievable components of Vision 2030 to fill the narrative gap. Entertainment sector deregulation, sports investment, domestic tourism to sites like Al Ula, these are already happening and can be amplified as proof points for the transformation without requiring NEOM to succeed on its original terms.
That's a reasonable adaptive strategy, actually. The problem is that NEOM was always described as the capstone, the proof that Saudi Arabia could do what no country had done before. Replacing it with a portfolio of more conventional development wins is strategically sound but symbolically deflating.